a week. We say it on Tachnun, Mondays and Thursdays, and we say, after all that Klai Yisrael has been through, B'chol Zoy Shimcha Lo Shachachnu. That after all of our history of ups and downs, of ins and outs, of so much suffering and trials and tribulations, B'chol Zoy, after it all, Shimcha Lo Shachachnu. And that's, you know, like they have in the Gemara, Kal V'chomer She'ein Alev Tshuva, like, there's nothing Hashem can answer to that. In a positive sense. That if we're still crawling back to you after all of these years and millennia and centuries, and we still care enough to try to make some effort and to move in holiness, it's the highest thing in the world. And we're going to be learning a lot about how a lot in Yiddishkeit that's broad, that's general, also applies on a personal level. A lot about that. So for all of us in our own histories, after everything that we've been through, and you know, today I was thinking, like, the younger we are and the shorter our stories are, the longer our stories are. Today's generation, everything is so quick. Everything is moving so fast. So for the Bachrim, and everybody's young at heart, you know. But to feel that we've gone through already, whatever stage and age we are in life, that we've been through so much, ups and downs, and we're crawling back to say, Master of the world, of Chol Zoy Shim Chalei Shachachnu. I'm still crawling back. And I'm still making efforts, and all of us made an effort to be here. We're setting aside time to try and learn. We have to be proud of ourselves just for this, that we're sitting together. And that itself is enough. I didn't say another word. It's enough. It's enough that we came and we showed the effort. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so proud of us. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so, in His eyes, it's so precious. All of these movements, all of these, it's Hesparos, it's Tiferes. Hashem loves it. He just can't get enough of it. So that's the first thing that we're saying is, Master of the World, check us out. Check us out. V'chol zoy shimcha lo shachachnu. That's the first thing. Although I write a lot and I give a lot of shiurim on Chassidus Bechlal, my personal headquarters is in Breslov. And I feel that there's a certain lane that many times goes missing in terms of Breslov teachings, because a lot of times, since Breslov is something that deserves to be that there should be so much excitement about, so a lot of times it's taken to an extreme. And we learn from the Svarim that an extreme is always unhealthy. In Pnimius, there always has to be a balance. For continuity, there has to be a balance. Something could be very powerful in an extreme, and it could be like a burst of energy that's so powerful, but it will fizzle out unless it has the balance. Yaakov Avinu is balanced. From him come 12 Shvatim. Avram and Yitzchak, they have Esav and Yishmael. Yishmael and Esav. Yaakov Avinu is continuity. So, for whatever reason, or however I came to this, it sort of just occurred in my life that this is my mission, is to go out into the world and to try and attempt to present Breslov so that all of us can appreciate the depth of Rabbi Nachman, that we can appreciate the sweetness, the das of Rabbi Nachman, but it comes into our lives in a balanced way, in a normal, healthy way, in a way that enables us to live in this world with our feet and with our head to be somewhere else. That's what Rabbi Nachman wanted. And the one other point that I'll make before we begin is that certain shiurim, it's a one and done. You know, you come to a shiur and a guy speaks. Of course, if you don't like me, don't come back. If you don't like what we say, but I specifically labeled it a chabura because it's going to take a long time, a couple of weeks, a couple of months, especially. It's cumulative. The sweetness is cumulative. You start to learn and you begin to explore the revelation. And then slowly but surely, as you work through the piece and you get into the depth of it, and then you get to Lukuti Alachis, it's like, but in order to really appreciate the depth, the amkus of it, it takes a commitment. So this is our chabura, and hopefully the chabura will grow. And it's a very, very precious and special and unbelievable thing that we should be very, very proud of it. So we're going to begin today with Torah Resh Nun, the 250th lesson in Rabbi Nachman's masterpiece, in his main work called Likutei Maran, which I'm sure all of you have heard of, some of us have learned before. This is packet one. This is the first page in packet one. Rav Tzvi ben Elazar, it's a Zeichen Nishmas, and I had a couple of names also for Refu Shleima. So this shiur is Bizchus Refuah Shleima Menachem Mendel Ben Sarah Basya, Devora Fega Ben Rezel, and Refuah and success for Chaya Bas Chana. This shiur is also being sponsored by the Lighthouse Project, which they're expanding. They're founded in Miami and they have shiurim live in person, but they're starting to do satellite classes. So very kedai to check them out. They have amazing, amazing speakers. This one not included, but they have Gedai Fenster and other really special, special speakers. That's kedai to check them out on Facebook and the other social media venues. So here we start. We start with Torah Reish Nun, and we're going to learn the Torah itself, and you're going to notice in packet one, there's different numbers, and those numbers correspond to the sources in the second packet, which we're going to be going through slowly but surely. So Rabbi Nachman says the following. This is the first note in the second packet, Sichas around 32. The Heilig Rebbe says, Chisya Gnaleinu V'Akal Yisrael, U'be'emes emuna hi inyin chazak ma'od. Emuna is something extremely strong. The chayav in a person's life, chazak ma'od al yidei emuna. A person's life is extremely strengthened. This is in the second packet. We're starting with the first source in the second packet. A person's life is chazak ma'od al yidei emuna. Ki kishi yesh lo emuna. When a person has emuna, afilu kishabon alav yisurim, even if a person experiences pain, chas v'shalom, as ayucha lanachim atzmai. Even if a person runs into struggles, and that's the nature of life. And we've all experienced this. That's life. There's going to be difficulties. There's going to be obstacles. There's going to be times where you're feeling down and out. There's going to be pain. And it's part of the process, part of the tikkun. But when a person bumps into a rough patch like that, if he has a munah, strong emunah, he's able, ulahachyas es atzmai, to give himself life, vitality. Because he tells himself, Ki Hashem Yisbarach Yirachim Alav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will have mercy on me, V'yeitiv Acharisai. And ultimately, I'll come to the realization that whatever I'm going through is for the good. And not only one day will I come to experience that, but V'yisurim Heim Le'Latoiva. The actual pain that I'm experiencing in this moment is L'Toiva. It's for my good, L'Chapara. And either it's L'Chapara, it's coming to atone for past sins. U'vasoif Yeitiv Lo Hashem Yisbarach Ba'olam Hazeh Ba'olam Haba. And ultimately, it's going to result in a Kadosh Baruch Hu expressing His goodness upon me in this world or in the next world. Aber mechaker, but a person who goes with the philosophical angle, and a person who doesn't believe that things happen for a reason. We're going to be learning a lot about that. She'ein le'emuna. So kishabal of ezet sara, when he goes through a difficulty in life, ein lo demilifnais. He has nowhere to turn. And so his experience with the pain is so much more real because it's in the language of certain philosophers, it's absurd. There's a certain philosopher who viewed the whole purpose of life as handling and dealing with the absurdity of our situation, where there's unequivocally no God. He wrote that off like the first sentence of his book. It just can't be. So we're left with an absurd situation. We don't understand life. We don't understand the world. So what's the best way to deal with the absurdity? And that's his whole take. So if you're left with absurdity and you're experiencing pain, there's no. We were talking about continuity. The thought process doesn't proceed to the next step. What can I do for myself now? Nothing. Just sit and experience the pain. Because if I don't see that the pain is for any sort of benefit, any sort of end, then it's mamish painful. Emotionally, it's mamish painful. And he says these words are very simple and easy to understand. And I think that even today they have studies with people, you know, who are faithful and people who don't have faith. And it's just an easier life. They're less stressed out, just on an emotional level, aside from the spiritual benefit, which we're going to talk about. So that's the introduction to this piece, Torah Reish Nun, the 250th lesson in Likutei Moran. So let's go inside. Da, says Rabbi Nachman. You should know. Rabbi Nachman revealed that every time that he starts a lesson with the word Da, he's drawing the lesson from the world of Atzilus, the highest, highest place, the most unbelievable revelations of Torah. Shekol minitzar v'chola yisurim. Any types of tsar, any type of pain, v'chola yisurim, and every type of suffering that a person goes through. Einam rak mechesser en hadas. Listen to these words. The reason that you're experiencing pain and frustration and struggle and difficulty is because chesser en hadas. You're lacking das. Now, because of the piece that we just learned in Sichas Aran, which is another one of the Svarim with the teachings of Rabbi Nachman, we can understand that Das seems to be related to Emuna. Because Rabbi Nachman just said 2 minutes ago in Sichas Aran that if a person has Emuna, his life is Chazak, and he can deal with pain and suffering. And if a person doesn't have Emuna, then he mamash feels the pain. And over here he uses the word Das, and we're going to be talking about this a lot. Chesron Das. Kimisha Yeshloi Das. If a person has Das, which is Emuna, but it's even more than that we're going to talk about. Viodea, not that he believes. He has this leap of faith, this belief. Viodea sha'akol ba'ashkachasim Hashem Yisbarach. He knows it 1,000%. It's clear to him than anything in his life. But he knows that everything is with Ashkacha. And everything that's happening to him is happening for a purpose. And it's connected to a much greater master plan. Viodea. Ein lo shum yisurin. A person who lives on this level, it's a very high level to live at, to have this clarity, this certainty, he doesn't feel the pain, but in a magish shum tsar, and he doesn't feel the pain of loss, or he doesn't feel the pain of emotional difficulty of going through a difficult time, because he realizes, baruch, it's clear to him, ki Hashem nasan, v'Hashem lakach. The same Hashem who gave me is Hashem who's taking away, and I trust him implicitly because Hashem is the name of Rachamim, Yudkei Vavkei is Rachamim. So Hashem nasan, this great revelation of blessing of Yudkei Vavkei that was revealed in my life is Hashem lakach. That same midas Rachamim is taking it away. Rabbi Nachman, unlike many, many other of the Hasidic masters at the time, at least, he dealt with the enlightenment, the so-called enlightenment, many of the enlightened ones, right, the intellectuals were living in Uman at the time that Rabbi Nachman was there. Instead of yelling at them and instead of banishing them and screaming at them and pushing them away, Rabbi Nachman would sit and play chess with them. And during the chess games, they would talk about religion back and forth. And they respected his brilliance. It was clear to them that he questions in mathematics and science that they went to their, you know, teachers, their rabbeim, and he couldn't answer. They would bring to Rabbi Nachman, to Rabbi Nassin, and in a second, they would answer the deepest questions in the world that they had that interested them. So one time they were discussing over a game of chess, and one of the intellectuals looked to Rabbi Nachman and he said, "Listen," he said, "you're clearly a brilliant man. That goes without saying. Spiritually, we don't know, you know, we don't believe in that stuff, but you're brilliant." And you have mastered many intellectual disciplines and academic disciplines. How can you believe in God? It is simply absurd. It is simply preposterous to propose that there's a man in the sky. It's like a dragon. It's like a fairy tale, right? We don't believe in dragons. We don't believe in the mythical Greek god. So how can you believe that there's like this man in the sky who's running the whole thing? Teva shows us that It just works on its own, its silent nature. How can you believe and go from there to everything that we can feel and touch and taste that there's just this mythical like being? It just, how's that miyushav al hadas? Now listen to these timeless words. It's so, so strong. Rabbi Nachman looked up from his game and he said, "Listen to what I'm about to tell you and listen to me well." Listen to these words. He said, "The God you don't believe in, I don't either believe in." Say it again. The God you don't believe in, I don't either believe in. What that means is the following. Rabbi Nachman could have easily looked at him and said, "Hey, you got to take a leap of faith. Got to jump sometimes. Comes to religion particularly, you have to..." Nachman didn't tell him that. Rabbi Nachman said, "If you allow yourself to put aside your preconceived notions and experience Torah on the level that I experience Torah, you'll find at the core a believable God. You'll come to the realization that it's not just you need faith, you experience it. You experience it through Torah. And some people, by the way, experience this through a black Gemara. I have not met many. Some I have not met many. There's Pnimiyas HaTorah, there's a level of Torah that's particularly outfitted for this kind of Emunah. I like to call it Hakara. Come to recognition. It's not even a moon anymore. It's not even that I believe. It's I see it and I believe it more than I believe that this is my right hand and this is my left hand. How can you believe it more? I see that this is my right hand and this is my left hand. Trust me, I see it. That's what I tell people. I see it. It's clear to me. It's not emunah. It's not faith. It's das. It's knowledge. How do you get there? Learning lessons like the one we're about to learn. Learning Pnimiyas HaTorah, learning Torah on the level where things are revealed and you don't have to, you know. Even the Gemara is called, and the Gemara itself calls Talmud Bavli Choshech. It's clouded still, it's dark, it's not so clear, it's the outside. It's just as important as the inside. Just as important. But you need the inside. The inside is just as important as the outside. You need the balance. That's what we're trying to do here. Strike a balance. Das. Yodea. Person knows that kol bashkocha me Hashem yisbarach. Ein lo shum yisurin. Ve'ein oy margish shum tsar. Ki Hashem nasan v'Hashem lakach. The same God that gives is the God Hashem yud kevav kerachimim takes. So all of us are sitting around the table and we're saying, it sounds great, sounds nice. But at the end of the day, if I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and I'm so thirsty, you know, and you're so thirsty in the middle of the night and you just need a drink, I don't have water near my bed and I have to go to the kitchen and it's pitch black and I stub my toe on the door, I could believe and know that there's a God, it's going to hurt me. Magish, you know, it hurts. It hurts. So there are certain pains that behechrich magish myself. Kegoina yisurim shabayim machmas harkava. Because there are pains that a person naturally feels because the soul, as spiritual as it is connected and bound to the body. And so there are certain physical pains, sickness, illness, that a person feels. So what kind of pain was he talking about before? Before he was talking about pain that's emotional. You're having a hard day. Something went wrong at the office. Your car broke down. You were late for a meeting. These things are not, you're not mukhrich to feel the pain. Your hand is not throbbing against your will. Rabbi Nachman says, bringing das into your life will enable you to ride out that storm. Then there's pain, he says, that you're going to feel. And we're going to get there in five lines. He's going to say, even the pain, that's physical pain, the emotional element having been removed because you have this das will make it so much easier. So you'll feel the pain, but it won't put you in a bad mood for the next 3 hours. Imagine a guy who, like we said, goes at 3 o'clock in the morning to get a drink of water and he stubs his toe. And he doesn't have this das, or the emunah even. He's just not living in that world, living in a godless world. Very scary place to live. Very scary place to live. Godless world. What's going on? I can't live in a godless world. So what's his natural reaction? He's cursing. I mean, what can he do, right? He's feeling pain for no reason. For no reason. You can imagine that for such a person, that's it. His whole day is ruined. He's finished. Can't move on. How can he move on after such a thing? It's injustice. I was wronged for no reason. I did nothing. And even if I've been doing things that theoretically, according to religion, are against, I don't believe in religion. There's no such thing. Less din, less dayan. But can you imagine a person who stubs that same toe? Maybe the same guy, a month later, 2 months later, starts learning Rav Nachman a little, gets the das, right? He stubs his toe and he starts jumping up and down on his good foot. Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, comes with Taiva, comes with Taiva, Baruch Hashem. Thank you, Hashem, Baruch Hashem, thank you so much. He goes on, he gets his water, and he goes back to sleep like a mensch. He still feels the pain, but it's so much easier. That's what Rav Nachman says. So he says that there are going to be pains. There are going to be pains that you're going to feel them. Pain that you feel because of the soul's connection and relationship with the body. And here he gives an interesting example. I want to point out just also, if anybody are thinking, we're not under pressure to finish this piece tonight. So if all you're thinking, it's already a half hour in, we're going to go at our own pace and Mirtz Hashem each week. We have all the Maram Kamas prepared already, so we'll take our time. We'll take our time. So here he gives an interesting example. He says, I want to give an example of the kind of pain that a person feels as the soul is leaving the body. So for some of us who are familiar with this Chazal, we think, the Chazal say that by tzaddikim, the removal of the neshama from the body, like by Moshe Rabbeinu, the neshika, he left his body with a kiss, it's like taking a hair out of milk. It just comes out, you just pop it right out. But then, for people, for Rishayim, it's like pulling, I think the metaphor given there is wool out of a thorn bush. Because the body is so entrenched with the neshama that to pull it out, it's very, very painful. So, b'muskel rishon, when we first look at the sentence, it makes it sound like he's talking about a guy on his deathbed, actually dying, that pain that he feels. But then he expounds in the following words. And he says, V'heim yisuri ha'chole shaboim machmash ha'maschelas ha'neshama lispashit v'negov. He says, I'm not talking about the moment that the soul leaves the body. I'm talking about sickness. And here Ibn Achman defines what sickness is, what sickness comes from. And it's so simple if you think about it. Sickness is the soul has begun to retreat. The soul has begun to retreat. We should all be healthy. And all of our family members should be healthy. It's Hashem. But if, we hear that a person is sick, what's happening there? It means that the soul is one step removed, starting to go. And that causes pain. Tremendous amount of pain. Tremendous amount of pain. So I want to take you to source number two. And this is a small Torah on the Kutumran, Resh Samaches, 268, and he says the following. Kishe'ein ha'adam istakel ala tachlis lama lechayim. When a person is not mistakel, we're going to be talking about this also very, very much in this piece, ala tachlis, a person isn't focusing on what the purpose of his life is, lama lechayim. So it can mean two things. First, it can mean lama lechayim, there's no, what's the point of life? Right? What's the point of living? If you're not constantly focused on the ultimate tachlis, so lama lechayim, there's no purpose for your life. But there's another way of reading it where it's just an explanation. What does that mean? He's not looking at the tachlis, meaning lama lechayim. He's not looking at why, what's the purpose of his life. So he says, v'hini ha'nefesh misgagas tamid lasus ritzayin yitzra. The soul is constantly yearning to do the will of her creator. U'kesheroya. And when the soul sees she'eino adam oisir ritzayin yitzbarach, when the soul sees that a person is not doing that, chas v'shalom, azayhi misgagam o'id lachsa l'sharsha. So it says, I'm not sticking around. The soul is not here, it's not an altruistic thing, like, okay, I'll give you a good time for 80, 90 years. The soul is here for a purpose. And it's here so that the neshama, so that the guf, can elevate it to a place where it couldn't have reached when it was hanging out in heaven. Can get to a higher level. So if the neshama sees that this is just not economic for me, like I'd rather be up there, then it starts to retreat. It begins to remove itself slowly but surely migufa adam. And this doesn't necessarily just have to be physically. You see a lot of Rishayim who are hanging around their whole lives and they're just doing whatever they want and the Neshama stay put. It means that it could have retreated emotionally or could have retreated intellectually. The Neshama's retreat can happen in many different ways. And so you can have a guy who's perfectly robust and healthy, but you don't know what goes on in a person's head. You don't know that he never once had any enjoyment from anything that he did because his father abused him when he was a little kid. You don't know. The neshama is leaving emotionally. Umizen nechla ha'adam. The person becomes sick because of this. And this is what he was referring to in the piece that we're learning, Rishnam. Ayidesha nechlash koyach ha'nefesh, because the soul has begun to weaken. Because it's leaving. Ayidesha mamsheches atzma mimenu. The soul is removing itself. Mach mashayim emalu ritzayinu. Because there's no purpose for its remaining in the world. Ki uroitza rak sheyasa ritzana mokim baruchu. It only came down here so it can do Hashem's will. If that's not happening, he's out. He's out. Now, like in Shark Tank, I'm out. You know? I'm out. It's no point. It's not a good investment. Rabbi Nachman says, many times the reason why medicine works. Why does medicine work? Why did Hashem make it in the Teva that medicine should work? He says, although, of course, physically you can prove what the medicine is doing, but there's a spiritual element as well. And the spiritual element is, Umach Masha Nefesh Roya, Shezel Adam Yachal Lachiv Hesatzme Lasses Hepech Tavasu Rigi Lasse. Many times medicine is painful, especially for serious illnesses. Chmona Latzlan, we shouldn't even talk about it. Nobody should have to experience such a thing, know about such a thing. But chemotherapy, it's so, so, so devastating. It's almost as devastating as the illness itself for that tekufa. So the nefesh says, for the 30, 40 years of this guy's life until now, I thought that he cannot control himself. He does whatever he wants. And anything that he does not want, or at least think he wants, he doesn't do. So if the nefesh sees that the person is willing to submit himself to something painful for a longer gain, he says, I can work with such a guy, I'm coming back. I can work with this guy. If this person has the capacity to do something difficult in the moment because he knows that ultimately it's going to benefit him, already he's somebody I can work with. And then neshama begins to come back. So of course there's a physical element of medicine and doctors can prove to you what the medicine is, adding this vitamin and that thing and doing its work. Rabbi Nachman says, it's true, there's also something spiritual happening as well. This guy likes to eat bread, he likes to eat meat. He's not interested in swallowing 15 pills and eating this and drinking that. And now he's going against his nature, and he's going through all of this, you know, suffering, and he's eating all this stuff. If he sees that the person is willing to take a short-term hit for long-time gain, he says, I'm okay with that. Al kin hu chazeres, he loves, he returns. Because the soul's will is that a person makes short time sacrifices for long time gain. And that is Yiddishkeit in a second, right? I once heard from a Rebbe of mine, Reb Tzvi Cheshen. Reb Tzvi says, the Yetzer Tov pays in check, and the Yetzer Hara pays in cash. That's it. That's the whole Yiddishkeit. The Yetzer Tov pays in check. We don't see the benefit right now. The Yetzer Hara pays in cash. Paying cash. The Medrash is a Sefri in Devarim. And the Sefri says that there was a person who was riding a horse. And in front of him, there was two paths. The path on his right was a path that was muddy for the first 200 feet. But from his vantage point, he could see that after that it became clear, and it was clear for the foreseeable future. The path on the left was very, very clear in the beginning. And then after that, it turned mamish into an impassable mud thing. So obviously it's clear to the person, he's trying to go to the path that's a little muddy. But the horse doesn't have that elevation. So the horse, all the horse sees is the first couple of feet. And the horse just refuses to go into the mud. It can't comprehend. Why should I go into the mud? All it sees is that the path on the left is clear and the path on the right is muddy. Why should I go into the muddy path if I could take the clear path? And the Medrash says, this is the neshama and the guf. The neshama is able to realize that although it's a little bit muddy in the beginning, it's so clear. It's so clear after a couple of feet. And it's so worth it. It's such a worthy investment. It's such a bigger check. And the Yetzirah, all it sees is the first couple of feet. So it's like, well, it looks pretty clear in this world. This world is nothing. It's Karaf Ayin. Passes in a second, in a flash. It's nothing. It's nothing. In comparison to infinity, to eternity, 70 years. It's a joke. It's a joke. It's a prezder, it's a hallway. So the Yetzer Hara, all it sees is the beginning. So it can't fathom why the Yetzer Tov is trying to pull it down a muddy path. That's Yiddishkeit. So the Yetzer Tov sees that this person is able to take refuas, is able to submit himself to something difficulty, to something difficult, I can return. So that's what Rabbi Nachman is referring to in Torah Reish Nun. It's a good source to put on the side. It's on the side. Right? To remind ourselves that every time you come to this line, you can check out that Torah, and that's a little bit more expanded. Okay. Umachma shenikshra neshama. And somebody has to let me know how we're doing at the time, because I don't have a watch in front of me. So you let me know when you want me to shut up. Okay? So, umachma shenikshra haneshama ba'aguf b'kesher amitz v'chazak. And since the soul is so entrenched and so connected to the body, akim b'hechrech margash ha'yisurim b'eis ha'perid. Certainly it experiences pain when the neshama is leaving. Ach afal pikein, and this is what we mentioned before, ha'yisurim kalim o'od. It's much easier because the emotional element is removed. So it makes it so much lighter, v'noichin le'eskabel, and it makes it easier to accept the pain ba'ava, be'esh yodea, and again, it's not a muna. Be'das barer. You know it with an absolute and unequivocal knowledge, sha'akol ba'ashkacha mi'ashem yizbarach. That everything is with hashkacha. U'mikol shekein sharmi nitzar b'yisurim, and certainly, things that the body doesn't feel. So again, you're having a hard day, somebody yelled at you, somebody made a comment to you, right? You know, you're just having a bad hair day, whatever it is. It is much easier to handle when you realize that you have das. She'ein margishim klal k'sheyesh le'das. Person won't feel this kind of pain when he's living on the level of das. How do you get to das? We're trying to get there now, and this kind of limud. Ve'ikra tzar ma'yisurim. So again, the main pain that a person feels who machmas she'noit le'mimenu hadas k'dei she'argishim ma'yisurim. The pain that you feel is only a result. It's not an effect. I'm sorry, rather. It's an effect, not a result. No, neither makes sense. Okay, great. So the pain that you feel is only because you don't have das. It's only because das was taken from you, so you feel the pain. If you were to have das, you would not feel the pain. So let's look at source number 3. And here's where we get into the deepest depths over here. You remember we were talking about the tachlis. In the previous piece that we just learned, we learned about a person who's not focused on the tachlis. What's the tachlis? What's the purpose? So he says, V'da, Rabbi Nachman says, Shebechina zu, a person must know that this bechina, of course this is part of a much, much longer lesson. This is just one little part. This aspect, which is what? Haino bechinas echad, this concept of echad, of oneness, unity, zehu bechinas ha-tachlis. The tachlis is oneness. The tachlis is unity. The tachlis means, a tachlis-oriented person, means that I'm living my life where everything is bound together. If I don't have any tachlis, so everything I'm doing is separate from the next thing. Every minute that I'm doing, 1 minute I'm eating, 1 minute I'm sleeping, 1 minute I'm doing something else, but it's not bound together. Because it's not tachlis-oriented. I have no end. But a person who's living toward an end, that means that my eating, my sleeping, my talking to people, my spending time with my kids, my spending time with my... all of this is one. It's bound together in unity. Because it's all focused, it's all part of one tachlis. K'moisha Kasov, and he says it's a pasuk, Ba'yoy ma'hu yiyah Hashem echad, u'shmoy echad. On that day, what's that day? U'ba'yoy ma'hu, says the Rebbe, ha'inu ha'tachlis. On that day, ultimately, at the end of history, the culmination of the entire progression of events that have taken place throughout history, ultimately, is going to be Hashem echad, u'shmoy echad. So there we see that oneness, unity, is related to the concept of tachlis. At the tachlis, ba'yoy ma'hu, yeah, Hashem Echad. You're going to see how everything was one. Why? Because there was a tachlis. That means that there was a magnet at the end of time drawing all these pieces together. So ultimately, when we get there, we can turn around and say, ah, b'yoyma hu, yeah, Hashem Echad, Ushma Echad. Everything was one. It's all part of one story. History, his story. It's all part of one thing. And he says, you know what else the tachlis is? And aside from being one and being the ultimate purpose, the end, the culmination, the end is good. Ki echad hu kulay toiv. Achtos is complete goodness. K'mo sha'am Rabbi Sinan Zuchana Levracha, because Chazal say, al pasuk zeh, on this pasuk, b'yoy ma hu yiyah Hashem echad u'shmay echad. On that day, God's name will be one and He will be one. Says the Gemara, atu ha'idin alav echad hu. I don't understand. But the tachlis Hashem is going to be one. Today is not one. We say every morning, Shema Yisrael Hashem l'kin Hashem echad. What about now? Answers the Gemara, Eloha idna mevarchim al hara dayin ha'emes. Of course Hashem is one now. But many times we don't perceive that oneness as being good. And so we have to be mevarich al hara dayin ha'emes. Something terrible happens, we say, baruch dayin ha'emes. It seems to be din, it seems to be judgment. We can't perceive how this is a good thing. Bala toiva. And when we have something good that happens, ah, toiva meitiv, you bring out a good bala wine. Hatoiva meitiv. Should be on the shopping list for the next year, Mitzvah Hashem. That's some wine. Marcha Dadas. Ava la'asid lavai. But la'asid yivarchu ala kol ha'tayva meitif. La'asid ba'yoyim ahu yi'ashem achad u'shmoy echad. Even that which was u'shmoy, it was just his name. It wasn't clear that it was yud kei vav kei. Shmoy, Rabbi Nachman says, is always a reference to Elohim, the name of God. The shame of God is Elohim, gvura. Ba'yoyim ahu yi'a, not only Hashem echad. Not only will the good things I'll make a bracha, I'll come to the realization that everything was one. Even the gvura, even the din that I experienced. Hatoy v'ametiv. Nimsa, we find from this Gemara, Shebechinas echad hu hatachlis. These three concepts are bound together. Achtos, the unity, the culmination. Tachlis, it's one because everything beforehand had been leading up to this one inyan. And what is that one inyan? Perfect goodness. That means that you and I are hurtling at a frightening pace toward perfect goodness. Toward the realization that everything that we go through in life and everything that ever happened in history, although it's unfathomable for us right now, unfathomable, we have to react to it with shtika, with silence. When Moshe Rabbeinu was viewing Rabbi Akiva's flesh being scraped off of him with metal rods, Moshe Rabbeinu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kach, Zutar, Zuzuschar, right on the Malachim, and Moshe Rabbeinu said, how could this be possible? And what was the answer? Hashem says, shtoik. Shtoik. Silence. Kach ala b'machshav. This is my das. Lo'y machshav ayzeh, machshav ayzeichem. Silence. So when we experience in history or in our own lives sometimes unspeakable tragedy, don't try to give reasons and explanations. Then you go on the Jewish websites, right, and you see like sometimes there's a tragedy, everybody starts to, and this teretz and this thing, why did it happen to Muncie? Oh, it must have happened to Muncie. Shh, shtoik. Shtoik. We're not clairvoyants, we're not prophets. And the only way to deal with tragedy, with the Holocaust, shtoik. That was the Lubavitch Rebbe's shita. There were others. The Lubavitch Rebbe held that it's usher to talk about. Shtika. And the word kach ala b'machshava that follow that shtika can mean, and literally it means on a pashat level, it means shtoik, be silent. Why? Because kach ala b'machshava. Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, that's my inyan. This is how it arose in my das to run my world. Can you be silent? But the word kach can mean this is how it was set and arranged in my mind. But it can also mean shtoik. If you'll experience this silent acceptance, kach ala b'machshava. This is how you get up there. This is how you get to this place. Through emuna, you get to this das of seeing things from God's perspective. Somehow. Can't explain it in words, but you get to this acceptance. Shtoik, kach ala b'machshava. So that's the tachlis. V'hu kulay toiv. Ki ha-tachlis hu kulay toiv. Because like we said, ultimately the tachlis is absolute goodness. All the pain, all the suffering, all the struggles that a person experiences, and this is why Rabbi Nachman is so relatable. Because many other sfarim, you open up and they'll tell you, yeah, you know, the sweetness of Torah and everything's great, and you know, Yiddishkeit is so amazing, and Rabbi Nachman is just real. Like he was so MS. There's no like fluffing it up. It's just straight talk, you know, just real. Life is going to be difficult. And that's not difficult. That life is going to be difficult. If you know how to approach it, it's not difficult. It doesn't have to be difficult, but it's going to be difficult. Kol ha'yisurim v'harois ha'ovrim ala adam chas v'shalom im yistakel ala tachlis, which is synonymous with the das of our lesson, with the emuna, with the akara, with the absolute recognition and understanding. Yistakel ala tachlis b'vadei in harois klal. So then he comes to a place where he says, in harois klal. Because I'm connected and I'm bound and I'm plugged into the tachlis, where in that place it's already kulay toiv. And since I see it, I'm not experiencing that. I'm certainly not experiencing that. My toe that I stubbed is throbbing. But since in my mind I have gotten to this realization and recognition that ultimately this that happened to me now is part of a tachlis, and that tachlis is kulay toiv, I can begin already to live on that level. That's what Rabbi Nachman wanted. So here we'll just go outside for a second and I'll tell you. There are certain chassidus that are focused on Geula Klali. Right? We want Mashiach now, Geula Klali, that we need to bring Geula. And it's so important. You know, people think like the Lubavitch Rebbe, you know, he was just like to rile people up and they were singing, we want Mashiach now. The Lubavitch Rebbe was the biggest mekubal of the generation. The Lubavitch Rebbe, you know, we're talking about silence. Loy dum yusihila. You can't even sing his praise. It's just, you can't even begin to be masik the Lubavitch Rebbe. And it was an inyan, it was avoida to have his chassidim believing that it would happen and yearning for it. Who else was yearning for it at that time? To mamash yearn for it? People were settling in, America was being built. But to yearn for it, to say, master of the world, we can't handle one more day of this. Geula klali. The general redemption. In Breslov, that's not so much the inyan. In Breslov, the Indian is totally, wholly, like entirely, Geula Prati. Which means that just like there is a collective nation, Jewish nation, all of us experience much of what the Jewish nation has experienced throughout exile, we experience in our own lives, in our own history, in our own past, present, and future. We go through trials and tribulations and suffering and tragedy. Rabbi Nachman wanted to give us Geula. Geula, Geula, Geula Prati. Even while living in Galus, in the collective Galus, Rabbi Nachman said, follow me, and I will give you the das, the consciousness of Geula. The consciousness of Geula. This is one of the lessons that talk about that. Emirat Hashem, I have my second book, Emirat Hashem, is coming out in January. It's called Sunlight of Redemption, on the first lesson of Likutei Maran. And in there, as part of that lesson, I bring, I think, about 20 different places throughout Kisvei Breslov, which all revolve around this point of Geula Prati. So you can see clearly how the whole thing, Mirosh Vatsaif, from beginning to end, Rabbi Nachman wants to give us a new consciousness. To stay with our lives, to live in this world, to realize that we're in Galus, the body is Galus. He wants to help us live through the Neshama. Consciousness. How? Should we cross our legs and meditate now for 2 hours? Might work, might not. Might last, it might be very strong in the beginning, and it might not have any Hemshech. It might not. Rabbi Nachman's way of giving us das is by expressing and revealing to us the deepest depths of the Torah that we talked about before, when you come to the place where you don't need to believe in God, but you see Him with your eyes, kemayim panim upon Him. You see it with your eyes like it's something in front of you straight. That's Rabbi Nachman's das. It's not just, you know, this. It is so, so real, and it's so concrete that it's unbelievable. That it's breathtaking. It is absolutely breathtaking. And we're going to experience it. We're starting a little bit, but this is just a, this is an introduction of an introduction of an introduction. And if you'll stick with us and we'll learn the rest of this piece in Likutei Halachos, it's a different thing. It's a different Torah. It's a different God. It's a different life. It's a different thing. Rabbi Nachman wants to take us out of Galus. You know, if Rabbi Nachman had like a logo, he'd be taking people out of Galus for 200 years. That's what he's been doing. He's been taking people out of Galus for 200 years. In the Holocaust, Elie Wiesel writes that in Auschwitz, there was one Breslov Chassid. There was one Breslov Chassid who hung around, and he refused to give up. And he, through his emuna, through his hakara, through his das, brought life to the entire, that whole block of prisoners. Of Jews. Out of Galus. He's in Auschwitz. He is out of Galus. And this person, more than anybody, I'm sure, needed to deal with the immensity and the enormity of the tragedy that was unfolding before him. But because he knew the secret of Shtoik, he was Olam HaMachshava. And he was living already on the level of Das, where his feet are in Galus, his feet are in Auschwitz, and his mind is in Yerushalayim. His mind is in Yerushalayim. Today, because of the atmosphere in the world in which we live, our feet could be in Yerushalayim, and we could be worse off than the mind of that Breslov Chassid in Auschwitz. It's a scary thing. But connection to Rabbi Nachman, a connection to this kind of Das, takes you out. And that's the beauty of the Shir and the Chabura. That's the point of it, is to teach that Rabbi Nachman wants to take your mind out of Galus, but he wants you to live in this world, to live in this world, to be normal, to be healthy, to be balanced. Rabbi Nachman says in Torah, in Sicha, Nun Aleph, in Sicha Saran, listen to this line. Rabbi Nachman says, Ha'oilam oimrim shetzrichim, I think this is the words, or something like this, shetzrichim hefkeris. Or ha'olam choshev, choshvim, that you need hefkeris. Hefkeris could be translated many ways. The way that they translate it is fanaticism, is irresponsibility, is extremism. Rabbi Nachman says, in my path to Avodas Hashem, ein tzrichim. You don't need extreme, you don't need fanaticism, you can be healthy. You can be healthy, you can be balanced, play with your kids, spend time with your wife. Go out, enjoy. Your mind is in a different place. Your mind is in a different place. And ultimately, I'm talking like Rabbi Nachman brought this down to the world. This is Yiddishkeit. This is what God wants. This is what Hashem wants. Rabbi Nachman says again and again and again, Malachim, Hashem has millions of Malachim. What did he need us for? Because specifically when we're serving him through our physicality, we're lifting up things that the Malachim could never in a million years lift up. Do you know one of the reasons why we sing Seischem L'Shalom? It's a Pella. The Malachim are coming home from Shul. They walk us the whole way, and they come into our house, and they see that everything is so beautifully set up, and I'm sure you guys have Shabbos meals in this room. Like, it's unbelievable. Shabbos. Shabbos in Yerushalayim. And then we say, hey, Ba'achem L'Shalom, come in, you can enter. Baruchuni L'Shalom, please bless me. Seischem L'Shalom, get out. Why? Don't you want their blessing the whole meal? Don't you want their blessing the whole Shabbos? Never tell them to leave. And the next week they'll send more malachim. My house will be full of malachim. What am I telling them to leave for? It seems so strange. So the Sfarim explain that you sing Seischem L'Shalom, you're about to make Kiddush. And Kiddush, to take a cup of wine and to sanctify it to the highest place, the malachim have no shaychus to that. You're not telling the malachim, okay, you know, it was nice that you came down here, now go back up to your place and I'll stay down here. You're telling the malachim, I'm about to go to a place where you can never go. Seischem L'Shalom. Not that you're leaving me down here. I'm leaving you down here. I'm about to go to a place that you have no shaychus with. Seischem L'Shalom. Kiddush on a cup of wine? No malach in the world could do that. No malach in the world. So this is Yiddishkeit. In Rav Nachman, I always tell people, I say, what's the Kiddush of Rav Nachman? I say, it's Judaism, but more. Meaning it's everything that everyone else is doing, Limanat Torah, Emuna, Simcha, Tvila, it's everything that everyone else is doing. It's just more intense, and more with feeling, and more. It's just more. And since Yiddishkeit also has that healthy balance, it means it's more of that healthy balance. It's more of that health. So that's what he's referring to over here. A person can be living on this level where everything that he's experiencing is toivus gedolus. Because such a person who's connected to this tachlis realizes that everything that's happening is me'ashem yisbarach l'toivasei. It's for my good. Im laskira shiyasha b'tshuva here, Rabbi Nachman adds a couple more things where we can answer ourselves to understand why we're feeling pain. So the first thing in Sichas Ran was, it's a kapara for my sins. Over here he adds another one. Shiyasha b'tshuva, Hashem is trying to remind me to get me going to do tshuva. Im lamarik avanoisav, again, to wipe away certain averis. V'im kein ha'yisurim im toivis gedola. So it emerges that the yisurim and the pain that I'm feeling are toivis gedola. Tzi kavanas Hashem is baruch hu bevada rak l'toiva. Because the ultimate kavanah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is certainly l'toiv. Nimsat emerges. Shebechol harois v'yisurim shiyish la'adam. That any pain and any difficulty and any suffering that a person experiences, chas v'shalom. Im yistakel al ha'tachlis. And I'm bringing this piece to show you that das and emunah means tachlis. Means tachlis oriented, focused on the tachlis. Hanu kavanas Hashem yisbarach. If he's focused on the ultimate kavana, what's the ultimate kavana? Toiv. Tachlis is toiv. It's achdus. Lo yelo yisurim kla. Person won't feel any pain. Rak adaraba. On the contrary, the more times he stubbed his toe, should probably move the table to a different place eventually. But the more time that he's stubbing his toe, rak adaraba yismala simcha migoydo rabba toiv. He can't handle it. Baruch Shalom, you're giving me so much goodness. And it's adding on joy. And each time it's Baruch Hashem, it's, oh my gosh, do you know what I just wiped away just now with that? Ah, thank you, Rabbi Hashem. Thank you so much. And every time, it's more of a cleansing. And every time, it's more of a clarification. Because such a person is tachlis oriented. His mind is already living on that level of out of galus. Olam haba. Because like we said, the ultimate tachlis is total goodness. Kulay echod. Because that means that every single thing that happened in your life, that even though there appeared to be a split between the good things that happened to you and the bad things that happened to you, ultimately, bayoimahu, yashem echod, ushma echod. It's achdus. Listen to this line. Ube emes, that is a very, very deep, deep line. Ein shum rabba oilam. There's no such thing as evil in the world at all. Now, we're going to discuss many, many levels that Hashem has hanhagas. This is only true on a very, very lofty level. Very lofty level. You go and tell a Holocaust survivor this line. My grandmother, she survived Auschwitz. She was 17 years old. You go tell her, Ein shum rabba olam. It's not going to go. It's not going to go. It's going to be very, very difficult for somebody like that who experienced what they experienced to tell you Ein shum rabba olam. Nachman is talking on a very, very high level that extremely, extremely great tzaddikim reach. And for most of us, it's cute to know that it exists on one level, but that's not our reality. It's not our hasaga. It's a very high hasaga. We can get to the belief to make things easier, to get to the akara, but to come to that actual level of ein shum ra, that there's nothing evil, it's very, very difficult. So Rabbi Nachman is trying to give us the hasaga of there seems to be ra, meaning I experience ra, but the way that I experience it is on a gula level. But to come to a place of mamash ein shum ra, that's lasa lava. That's actually, we can only get there when we get to that place of bayayimahu. Right now, we still experience pain. Don't kick yourself. Hurak machmash la'ah. So here he says, rakule taiv ach ikar atzar sheyish la'adam, the reason why we feel pain is me'asurim sha'ayibim alav chas v'shalom, from the pain that we experience, is because they, and who's this they he keeps on talking about, they have removed the das from you. We're about to discover who the they is. So it makes it very difficult for you to live life on that level, to constantly be focusing on the tachlis, which is ultimately complete goodness. So when a person is living in that sort of place, because they took away the das from him, we're going to learn who the they is in a minute. So az margis saru ke'eva yisurim. Then he feels pain. If it's physical pain, if it's emotional pain, life sucks. Kishi ish le'das. When a person has das, so mistakel ala tachlis, and that's what it means, das, to be focused ultimately on the tachlis, and to have gotten there through hard, real, straight, concrete learning. You get to the point, and I'm not talking, again, you could learn halacha your whole life and never get here. It's specifically pnimiyah satara gets you here. Specifically pnimiyah satara. It needs to be balanced with the guf of Torah, which is halacha, masit, practical halacha. So important to have that balance. But we have to connect to the neshama in order to get into this neshama sort of perspective. U'mestakal ala tachlis einam margish klal tzar shel yisur. Such a person doesn't feel the pain. Even though he's going through difficulties, he's stubbing his toe. Makes it much more easy. Okay, so now we're going to learn who's taking the das away? What's preventing us from getting to this das? Why don't we naturally have this awareness? Listen to this brilliant line. He says, you know why we feel the pain of galus? You know why galus is painful? Hakol humach mashanaflu mihadas v'toylen hakol b'teva uvemikrim uvemazel. The reason why we can't handle pain in galus, in exile, as a nation collectively, but as each of us on our own level, is because we have fallen from the das, and we think that everything is happenstance. We are in a mindset where everything is just, things happen. Things happen. We can't explain it. Things just happen to me. I can't explain why. I can't see that it's connected to a tachlis. Like we explained before, this is why they have pain. Now, why does that happen to me? This happens to a Jew. I'll explain what he's doing in a second. It's so amazing. The reason why you don't have das is because you're living among the Goyim. Okay, so he just said a bombshell. Let me explain to you why this is a bombshell. For most of us, the way that we approach galus is that we live in galus. The Goyim are constantly putting us through inquisitions and crusades and holocausts and pogroms. And we deal with the pain because we're in galus. Rabbi Nachman says no. Rabbi Nachman says all of the pogroms and the holocausts and the inquisitions and everything are not intrinsically painful. The reason why you experience them as pain is because you're living in galus. And because you're living amongst the goyim, and so you have the consciousness of a person who thinks that life just happens, and that there's no correlation between the avoda, the effort, the energy that a person does, or his relationship to God, or the things that happen to you. So that causes that you lose the das, and mamele, you feel the pain. But intrinsically, the pain of galus is not painful. That's an amazing, amazing thing. That means to say that if we were to go ahead and attack galus and to try and get ourselves out of it, step one is not to go ahead and to try and make sure that no holocaust and nothing ever happens again. That's a symptom. Step one is to treat the disease at the core, which is to get back the das. And if we were to get back the das, then we would come to the realization and recognition that everything is kulei tov. And that's why this is such a valuable line. And, you know, it's difficult to talk on a collective level for the Jewish people. What do you mean? Chas v'shalom, I'm not bringing on us any more pain and suffering that people have. But it's much easier, and Rabbi Nachman needs to be experienced this way, on a personal level. Why do I feel pain? It's not because I'm in galus and painful things are happening to me because the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. It's because I'm in galus. And because I'm in galus, I don't have das. And because I don't have das, I can't handle life. Why that's valuable and beneficial for me to know this is because that helps me treat it. Many people think that if I get out of this situation, or if I marry a different woman, or if I would only have different kids, or if I would only have better finances and deal with all these things, then I would be able to handle life. Rabbi Nachman saying that's not true. Those things are only a symptom. Only a symptom. And even if you were to get to a place where you had better finances and a better this and a better that, it could be that even there, you'd still be dealing with the same pain because you're, you know, a person who has money, right? Say matayim, right? He wants 200. Oh, you have kesef, lo yizba kesef. You constantly, right? Mar ben chasem, mar bedaiga. You're constantly seeking more. And since you haven't been metaken the source, you'll keep on experiencing symptoms. You'll continuously experience symptoms. That's why this is so, so, so valuable. Rabbi Nachman is telling you, treat the disease at the core. Treat the disease at the core. Don't go ahead and think that you need to move here and move there and get this job. Maybe you have to make, you know. But there are certain things in life that you just simply can't change. You will never have other parents than the parents you have. It just won't happen. You won't be able to change the past of your childhood. It just won't happen. These are the cards you've been dealt. So if I think that my geula is talui on changing these inyanim, and changing these effects, I'm going to live in galus my whole life. Because I can't change those things. So Rabbi Nachman is telling you, ein shum yush. There's no despair in the world at all. You know why? Because those are only symptoms. And if you change the core, the root, then you'll be okay. Then you'll be okay. So the reason that they experience all these pains is because they're living among the goyim, and they're learning from them. Because we see that they're, you know, things seem to be going pretty well for them, and they run society, and they, you know, arrange everything that we see on Facebook or any social media or any sort of, you know, societal element, the media and everything else. It's just screaming to me, there is no God. Things that happen just happen, and we begin to have this consciousness inculcated within us. The Yisrael Nivzu Mishvalim. And we're, you know, we're not in a position of power. We can have our own lane, and therefore we're getting influenced by them. So we're learning from them, and everything is b'teva, and everything is b'mikre, and we think that things just happen to us. And once you have that root, mainly you experience symptoms of pain. But the pain is not the disease. The pain is a symptom. That's the chiddush. Because of Klal Yisrael, and I want to talk on an individual level, if each of us, if you and I, if I would have the das, that everything that happens to me is bashkacha pratis ad lamoid. That nothing happens for no reason. That everything is part of a tachlis, and that tachlis is echad, and that echad is kulay toiv. Then what? Lo yehi lahem yisurim klal. I would be able to handle my life the way it is now, without changing anything else. The way it is now. Ube emes yisrael him lamala me'ateva. And the truth is, before we get to there, I put all the numbers over here, but really this should be over there. So let's do a couple more sources, and then I think it's time to go for tonight, and we'll continue next week. I want to talk to you for a second about the shirish of din and the shirish of rachman. It's a very, very deep thing, and I see we only have a couple minutes left, so I'm going to try and do it quickly, but it's extremely important to know, and we already started touching on it, so I think it'll be easy to understand now. Pain that we experience in our lives, Rabbi Nachman has now revealed to us, so far, and again, this is just the beginning of a lesson. He hasn't said anything yet. Pain that we experience in our lives is a result of our lack of focus on the tachlis. What's the tachlis? Kulei toiv. What's the tachlis? Kulei echad. Oneness. That means, and the Sfarim say this all over the place, that means that the shorish of din is the opposite of echad. So if kulay toiv is synonymous with achdos, that means that kulay ra, or an experience of bad, means that there's pirud, in the words of the Svarim, separation. This world in the Kabbalah Svarim is called Alma de Piruda. It's the world where everything is separated. We don't see one unifying factor binding everything. Everything looks to us like separate inyanim, different things. One day is disconnected from the next. One event is different, is disconnected from the next thing. One meeting with one person is disconnected from meeting the next guy. Disconnected. The pasuk says in Esther, "Vayomer Haman leMelech Achashverosh." We all know this pasuk. Haman said to the king Achashverosh, "Yeshnoi am echad." There is a singular, unified nation. Mefuzer umufayir beina amim. And there's a deep secret hidden in this pasuk. Kazentai. At their core, at their essence, it's Am Echad. It's a nation that's focused on Echad. But right now, they're susceptible to my decree. Why? Because Mufuzar u'mefayrad. They have descended into a place where they start seeing life as being pirud. Why? Beina Amen. Beina Amen. Beina Amen, because they're in Galus. And because they're in Galus, so work the pasuk backwards. Because they're Beina Amen, Memela u'mefayrad. Memela, they're split, they see everything as being disconnected, they see things as not being ultimately bound to this unified tachlis. Memela, Vayamraham on the Malach HaChashverosh. So the whole lesson of Rabbi Nachman that we started so far is in this pasuk. Am echad. The problem is, meaning the effect is mefuzer mefayred, and the cause bein ha'amim. They're in galus, and the galus has removed the das from them, which means that they're no longer focused on the achdos of everything, and so they see things as being mefuzer mefayred, and they're susceptible. But there's a pasuk in Tehillim that says the opposite. Pasuk in Tehillim that gives the flip side of that. And the pasuk says, "Asher yachtav namtik soid bebeisel dekim nalach beragish." The pasuk is talking. David HaMelech is talking to Avshalom, his best friend, his closest, deepest friend, who he said in fleisa avas chalim avas nashim. He said in his hesped for Avshalom. He said his love, my love that I felt for Avshalom was more than I loved my wives. Nefleisa avas chalim, huh?
Avshalom or Yonasan?
I can't say Avshalom. I'm sorry. He loved Avshalom also. He loved him enough to drag him out of Gehenna. The Gemara says every time he said Ben, Bini, 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 he was dragging him level and level and level up and out. If anybody says Hakrab Nachman, take you out of Gehenna. So the first Gemara in Brachas, also the Vulnagain talks about it everywhere. You know, but more on that a different time maybe. Yonasan, Niflesa Abbas Galil Me'ahavas Nashim. So it says Asher Yachtav Namtik Soid, discussing his relationship with Yonasan. Thank you for correcting me. He said, "Asher yachtav that together namtik soid," which literally means translated, "We would take sweet counsel." That's what it's translated. Artsko, right? Not Yaakov Klein. It would sound very different. Asher yachtav namtik soid. They would take sweet counsel. I don't even know what that means, really, but it would be sweet and it would be counselless, right, of some sort. Bebeisalikim nalach beragish, and we would walk to the house of God beragish with passion, with fire. So the Mekubalim say that there's hinted here a deep secret. All of life, what we're trying to do is being mamtik the din. There is din, there is judgment, there is ra that we experience as being the Shem Alikim, and we want to sweeten it. We want to come to a place of das where we can sweeten that din. How do I do that? Say the Mekubalim, namtik, if you want to sweeten din, yachtav namtik. Connect to the unity of it all. Asher yachtav namtik. By connecting, and this is the exact parallel of the pasuk in the Megillah that we just said. When we have Am Echad, that's Mefuzer Mefayrad, where it sees everything as being in separate movable parts that have no connection to one binding lane, Beina Amim and Vayom HaMelech HaShverish. But Asher yachtav, if you're connected to the unity, namtik soid. Then you're connected to the namtik, and that's the soid. Right, the soid is yacht of namtik. If you're connected to the all, if you're connected to the tachlis, which is Hashem echad, kulo toiv. Ve'yemahu yeh Hashem echad, u'shmo echad k'shem shemavarchem ala toiv, mevarchem ala ram.
The first step of that is by shasik, like you said,
so the first step is getting to das. The first step is getting to das. Now, what is the das that we're trying to arrive at? The unity of it all, the tachlis of it all. So das is really just the code word for tachlis. Rabbi Nachman did that in Torah Samachay that we learned. Right, that's what it means, das. It means that a person is focused on the tachlis. He gets to a place where he believes it, but I don't like to use the word belief. He gets to a place where he's makir. He sees that nothing is separate, that everything is one, that everything is bound together. And therefore, everything that happens in his life, both the good things and the bad, it's all part of this one lane. And if I'm living on such a level, then I'm treating the root of the disease. And I might have the very same things and the same situation that I had yesterday. But today I could handle it. Okay, I think we're out of time for today. Emir Tashem, next week, we hope to pick it back up.